bring greetings to you this morning in our dear Savior's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here this morning. It's been a while since I've seen some of you, and for some of you it seemed like a kind of a long week not seeing you after being together a little over a week ago for a little more than a week. And getting, that was a real blessing. So, Lord bless you, brothers from Wisconsin, as you go and share in West Virginia. Some of us had gone to Louisiana for a week, and it was a real blessing. It's just, you know, we get together on a Sunday morning, and we put on our best clothes, and we put on our best smiles, and for a few hours, we are at our best behavior. But when we work together in our work clothes for 5 days and travel together in between, you get to know some brothers a little better, and it's just a real blessing. Lord bless you for doing that. This morning I would invite you to turn to 1 Peter. I've started to preach through the book of 1 Peter, and the title or the verses that we want to look at this morning is found in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, and we're going to focus in on what is our inheritance and that we are kept. How are we kept? This, if we read it, it almost sounds like a couple of Calvinistic verses. But God has some very clear direction, I believe, about our inheritance and how are we kept by the power of God through faith. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of knowing you. Father, we thank you for how you've spoken to us already this morning through the children's class and through the testimony. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to take to heart some of the things we heard this morning. And Lord, just bless Brother Lynn for sharing some of the struggles in his life and things that he went through. Sometimes we tend to shy away from just being honest about where we've been and what things we've gone through. And yet, there's a lesson there for us, Lord, this morning. Help us to take it to heart of just being able to yield to you, knowing that you have our good in mind no matter what trials we go through. But Lord, we thank you that you are our God. You're our Father. And because you're our Father, and we are your sons and daughters, there's an inheritance that we can look forward to. And so Lord, we just pray that you would bless us as we look into your word this morning. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. First Peter chapter 1, let's start reading in verse 1 and we'll read through verse 9. I'm not sure where to stop, but I think we'll read through verse 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I think some of the, here verse 6, 7, 8, some, we find ourselves often in situations. We heard that in Linford's testimony this morning of things where there's a heaviness and there's things and trials that we go through in life. And we don't understand. We don't understand some of these things. That's not my message this morning, but if we could learn to just yield to the Lord and what He has for us, we would be so much further ahead. It seems in my life anyway, once you learn to yield, then God can maybe take you on to something else. But until we yield, it seems like there for a while it seemed like wherever I turned, there was a man that I worked with that had kind of a unique character about him. And so I changed jobs and I found out I was working with another man that had almost the same unique character. And it's, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say? Sometimes, you know, when we just start accepting and recognizing that we need to work through some of these things, God can take us on to something else. But God wants to show us some things sometimes in life of where we need to grow. And I'm still growing. I need more of the Lord. But this morning, what is our inheritance? Or maybe I should back up and say and ask the question, if there is an inheritance, who are the heirs? Who are the heirs? Here it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. But if we back up one verse to verse 3, it says, who has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If we're born again, we are heirs. And I'd like to, let me read a verse in Hebrews where it says, in verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. So first of all, God made Christ the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so Christ is God's own son, and he became heirs of all things. If we are born again by faith in Jesus Christ, we are heirs. As we read there in 1 Peter 1, 3. Let me read a few more verses. One of those is in Galatians 3 and verse 20, 25, 6 and through verse 29. It says, but after faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all in one in Christ Jesus. If ye then be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. We are Abraham's seed if we are Christ. We are, because faith has come. Even Abraham was an heir because he believed and it was counted to him for righteousness, the Bible tells us. We become heirs of the promise. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. for a portion of Scripture that is very loaded. When we think about being heirs and an inheritance, just because we go to church, just because we would say that we are Christians, I did that for many years, doesn't mean that we're an heir. It's only when we are born again by faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, reading the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has chosen us in him that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's part of our inheritance. It's just simply salvation. Let's continue. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in which also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's another part of our inheritance, is the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So in this life, he's saying here, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, which is just, in a sense, the down payment. It says the earnest, the down payment. That's all that is. At this point, it's just the down payment, the Holy Spirit. Now, how many, you know, when we heard a testimony this morning of a young man who just got born again this week, and the change that brings in life, just a clearing, a freeing, when the Holy Spirit comes and we're made new. But that's just a little down payment of what is yet to come. Now, what is all to come? We see through a glass darkly. I don't know exactly what all is coming, but I know that it's worthwhile to live a holy life. He asks us here in verse 4. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, we become heirs by faith in Jesus Christ. And when we get born again, we get the earnest of our inheritance. Let's read verse 14 again in Ephesians. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And I think the redemption of his purchased possession is at that last day, at the trump, when the trump will sound, and we will really begin living. Even though in this life there are so many blessings of living the Christian life, don't ever believe that the pleasures of sin for a season are worth it. Even those bring a very sour taste in people's mouth. It might taste sweet in the moment, but even the next hour or the next day, it will bring heartbreak and disaster. Even in this life, it's just what we experience is just a little down payment of what is to come. Another verse that I should maybe read in Revelation, in Revelation 21 and verse 7, it says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that overcometh, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And then he continues and he says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That would be a horrible inheritance to receive. A horrible inheritance. And so maybe we're here this morning and we have begun a walk with the Lord. He's still asking us to overcome. Be overcomers. Now let's look at our inheritance. The Bible gives us a little bit of a clue. One of them, as I said, in 1 Peter, it talks about salvation. In Hebrews 1, verse 14, he's talking about angels and said, "Are they not all ministering spirit sent forth to minister to them who shall be the heirs, who shall be the heirs of salvation?" Who shall be the heirs of salvation? In the Bible, it talks about salvation, I believe, in past, present, and future. And let me just read a few of those verses. Sometimes I believe this portion, if we go back to 1 Peter, let me just read that verse again. In 1 Peter, it talks about, in verse 5, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Like, that salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. So there's a present, there's a past, present, and a future that the Bible uses about salvation, I believe. In Titus 3 and verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Past tense. He saved us. "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So that's the past saving. According to his mercy, he saved us. That's past. That's being born again. If we're born again, that's the saving that he's talking about here, I believe. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." Present tense. "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain." I believe that's a present tense saving that's going on as we walk day by day. How the Lord can keep us. Yeah, the gospel. And he's talking about, the Word of God and how we have, which by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory, It's something that's presently going on, a present saving. And then in Romans 13, verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time that it is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." It puts it out ahead of us, a salvation that's out ahead of us, as it is also there where I read and here in 1 Peter 1, verse 5, ready to be revealed in the last time. And I believe sometimes, some of our backgrounds especially, there are scriptures that have been used that well, we can't know that we're saved. We only hope. Well, some of that, there is a hoping. There is a future salvation that is coming at when we will meet the Lord, where our salvation will be wrapped up in a sense, where everything will be done. Maybe when the Lord returns or when we die. But that salvation will not be wrapped up if we don't have the past. Titus 3 verse 5, and there's many others, but according to His mercy He saved it. There's a born again, something that happened in our past where we turned to the Lord and we were saved, or we were born again. We use those terms. But in the meantime, there is a present saving, present walking with the Lord by faith in the Lord. Okay. What else is our inheritance? What is, I believe that most, the Bible would talk about the kingdom of God. In Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, let me read a few verses there. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It sounds like an inheritance that we get. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, which I believe are very similar. Another verse in Matthew 5, in verse 10, it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Luke 12, verse 32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." To give you the kingdom. God's kingdom. What does that all entail? I don't think we totally will know. In Matthew 25 and verse 34, in that parable, it says, "Then shall the king say unto them at his right hand, Blessed are ye of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." A favorite verse of mine, in Romans 8, verse 16, 17, and 18. Let's just turn to that. From a young Christian, those have been verses that you kind of understand what they mean, but you can't really wrap your mind around what it actually all entails and how that could be possible. In verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Talks about, I believe that's an assurance scripture where the Spirit just bears witness with my spirit that we are the children of God. That's what happens when we are walking with the Lord, when we get born again and start walking with the Lord. In verse 17, "And if children..." If God's Spirit bears witness that we are children, then we're also heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we are joint heirs with Christ. And I don't understand how that all can be. But we are joint heirs with Christ. what's Christ? And we could if we would have time, we could go into John chapter 17 in the high priestly prayer of Christ praying for his disciples. And he's given them, the Father gave to Christ and Christ gave to them, and everything is one. It's just a beautiful picture. But he's praying that he would deliver them from the evil, which is interesting. And then in verse 17 he says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, so that if we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's this life, the trials that we go through in this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise the Lord. God has some tremendous things for us. In Revelation, let me just read this. Revelation 21 in verse 7, I had read this earlier, says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. All things. The all things of God. What includes the all things? He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I don't know. But it gets me excited about what is in the future. If we think about eternity, you know, this little space of time that we live in, sometimes we get discouraged to our shame. And, you know, well, is it really worth it? And if we could see the little space of time that we are living here compared to eternity, it is worth it. It is worth it to keep going, pressing forward, pressing toward the mark, to be overcomers. Heaven. I think the kingdom of God starts here and now. That's part of our inheritance. But we will also, heaven is really, heaven is where a lot of our inheritance will be. Let me read a few verses. It says, let not your heart be troubled, in John 14. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God is going to prepare us a mansion. Now, I like a warm house and something, but I don't desire a big fancy house myself. Some people do. I don't necessarily. But God's going to prepare us a mansion. Can we imagine what that will be like? Because it talks about the streets are being paved with gold. So if gold is just pavement, I don't know what a mansion will be like that God is building for us. Turn in your Bibles to Revelations chapter 21. And to me, this is some of the things that he talks about here, I think, are the real blessings of Revelation 21, a real part of our inheritance. In my mind, even that mansion will dim in comparison with just being with Christ. Revelation 21:1 through verse 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more tears. No more death. No more passing of parents or siblings or children or no more houses burning down. Praise the Lord. No more flooding like you'll see in West Virginia. Neither sorrow nor crying, no pain. Can you imagine that? No pain. We're with Christ. We're with God. God himself shall be with them and be their God. The former things are passed away. I don't know what that all means. Does that mean that the memory probably are some of the things that we would be sad about, we won't remember anymore. Verse 5, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are faithful and are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. In verse 7, again, that verse, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We could continue reading there. Verse 9, it talks about the bride, the Lamb's wife. We don't understand that either all. But there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, and we are the bride. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be the bride. Amen. Okay. Back again to 1 Peter. And this inheritance, he says in verse 4, is incorruptible and undefiled, that fate is not away, reserved in heaven for you. This inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fate is not away. Now, how can that be? It's because it's God's inheritance. In Matthew 6 and verse 19, it says, Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The treasures in heaven, no thieves can break through and steal, and there's nothing will rust. You won't see. In heaven, there you won't see an old piece of machinery standing out in a field somewhere all rusted. Those things have been passed away. But God's inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away. Now the question is it says it's reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's there for you. It's there. I believe it's there for everybody. But it's up to us whether we will get that inheritance or not. Verse 5, it says, Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm ahead of myself here. And it's kind of interesting, because this is a verse that a lot of the Calvinists really use, this verse 4 and 5, who are kept by the power of God, ready through faith, and it's an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for you. But this word kept, it says we are kept by the power of God, which means we are guarded or protected. Actually, the American Standard Version, this is how it reads in the American Standard Version, verse 5, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept means protected or guarded. We are guarded. And therefore, it implies that there is a danger. There is a danger of losing our salvation. Maybe a great danger. And it was interesting. A very prominent Calvinist of our day even recognized that word does imply that there is a danger of losing our salvation. I think he went on and tried to explain it some other way. But he recognized that this word, this we are kept by the power of God, there is a danger of losing our salvation. The Bible is very clear that it's only those who overcome, who are kept by the power of God through faith. It's through faith that we are kept. Through faith in Jesus Christ. God has a tremendous power if we but believe. If we but believe in Jesus Christ. We could look at some of the verses on God's power, but I think we will just look at some of our... Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. We are kept by the power of God through faith. So we are kept through faith. Romans 10, start to read in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word of faith which we preach. And then it says, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the scripture says in verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto him that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 15. Now let's read verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? And then in verse 17 is the verse I really want to get to. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But in verse 15, in verse 16, he implies that if we have faith, we will also obey. We will also be obeying him. They have not all obeyed the gospel. If we really have faith, we will also obey the gospel. So we are kept by the power of God through faith. It's only when we walk by faith, believe the word of God for what it says, and when we believe, we obey. When we are in a building, let me back up. In some of these areas where we were, where there was flooding, once people really believed that their houses were being flooded, they got out of there. Most of them did. There were some people that lost their lives. But when we really believe something, we will act upon it. We will get out. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Let's look at a few verses of where some warnings about unbelief. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm looking at quite a few scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 3, starting to read in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed. See, we can be kept by the power of God through faith. But if we don't have faith, here's what happens. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, not believing in departing from the living God. Surely God can't mean what he says. Surely he's not asking that of me. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That asks for us to be part of somewhere where there can be an exhorting one of another as a body of Christ, so where we can exhort one another. And he asks us to do that daily, lest we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. By whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they could not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So then we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And I believe this is New Testament. There's a reason why he has this here. Sometimes I'm afraid we are more once saved, always saved than what we care to admit. We were born again back there, and whenever somebody asks for our testimony, it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years ago is when I got saved. But there's a present walking with the Lord. There's a present having to overcome things that come into our life. Things that where we fail and we need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. We need to go to brother and ask for forgiveness maybe. There's things that, see, we are uniquely made, and we don't always think the same And so there are things that we, there's differences of opinion sometimes, and somehow we need to work through some of those things and learn how to submit one another and to be an overcomer. And through those things, not get discouraged. Okay. Let me just read a few verses in Romans 11 down the same line of thought of warnings against unbelief. Romans 11, verse 9, "Wilt thou then say the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in?" Talking about the natural olive branches. "Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. But thou standest by faith." So it was because the Jews didn't believe is why they were broken off. But we stand by faith. But then here's the warning. He says, "Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also not spare thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." So if they repent and start walking by faith, even though they had been broken off, they can be grafted back in again. But we are not the natural branches. We are not Jews. And God was able to graft us in. And he says, "Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also not spare thee." So there's a continued walking by faith every day. Being just trusting the Lord for all our things. And we can be. When we do that, we can rest assured. We can have that assurance that inheritance is ours. If we walk by faith every day, and that inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. If we continue walking by faith and are not in unbelief. A few verses here in closing. 1 Timothy 6 in verse 12, Paul is saying, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Let's fight the good fight of faith. Let's not give in now. 2 Timothy 4, 5, again Paul was saying, he says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." Endure afflictions. Is there someone here who's never experience any afflictions in life? No, we've all experienced afflictions in life. Endure it. God asks us to endure those things. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. And then Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He came to the end of his life and he says, "I have done that. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have done it. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." And that's my prayer, that we can come to the end of our life, which Paul was. He says his departure is at hand. We can come, my prayer is that we could all come to that point, and we can have that confidence that Paul had, that he's kept the faith. He has finished his course. Praise the Lord. There's an inheritance for me. If I can come to the end of my life and I can say that I have kept the faith. Lord bless you all.